Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. I am joining you from northern Spain. I cannot believe it. It is such a blessing to be with you all. I am today having on the program a chance to offer you some reflections about the beginning of my journey before I even make it to the Camino. But I'm launched. I'm on the way. I'm about a week ahead of these reflections. So I'll have a chance to kind of bring you up to date a little bit as well. All right, back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, we love you. We thank you and we praise you that you are the God who has launched us into this journey of our life of faith. Lord, we know that you stand with us at our point of deepest need and that you also call us. You call us, Lord, sometimes through the circumstances and situations that we face in our lives, to be willing to step forward, to be willing to step into the gap and to repair the damage that is being caused. Lord, I pray for a deeper insight and understanding of the gift of reparation. Lord, just help us to be able to get a sense of that as a privilege and a gift to us to be able to offer reparation and penance in order to repair the damage that sin causes and to uproot sin that is in our lives, that is in our relationships, that is in the lives of those we love so much. Lord, we cannot do this without you. We cannot. This is not a human effort, Lord. This is not about us being superheroes. This is about us following your path, the path that you lead, the path that you trotted, the path that you walked, Lord, on our behalf, in our place, and for our sake. And now you invite us to join in that path as well. So Lord, help us to understand that more fully today in this journey with Claudio. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'm going to dive in to a reflection on my early days, my flight to Paris and what happened there. Hey, welcome back to my journey on walking the Camino Francés. This is the story from day one. And I was like, okay, Lord, you got me on these flights for a reason. Lord, why am I on these flights, in this overnight flight? And I ended up meeting Claudio. And that was the gift. The Claudio was in the window seat in the row. Ended up being a blessing. We talked for a couple hours. And it was really interesting where it just opened up things for him in terms of to talk about God and faith. And there's a theme here in this first week. And the theme is, there are a whole bunch of people out there who are brought up Catholic and who are no longer Catholic. Surprise, surprise. But really, this is kind of the most common status that I've encountered on the Camino from beginning to end, right? From beginning, from the plane to the train, which we'll get to in a minute, to this first week. The most common situation is, I grew up Catholic and I'm no longer practicing my Catholic faith. I'm spiritual, not religious. I don't think about religion, etc.
brothers and sisters, that is a suffering. That is a pain. There's a real loss there that, just to say it out loud, it's just important that we really ponder that. Okay, so I'm like, okay, so God got me to this seat to make an act of reparation, to create this goodwill. And all this goodwill came because I was willing to do this. I became the agent's favorite guy, the flight attendant. He's like, can you fly on all my flights? I guess this is a very common occurrence. And he's like, what do you want? I'll bring you anything. It was also some water. And so he brought me just a big container of water, like 1.5 liters, not just a little glass. And it created this sense of, this guy Claudio was like, you're a good man. And I'm like, well, I just did something to try to bring peace, and kept poking him to say he believes God's out there and that God has a purpose and a plan. And I said, well, right now I am God's plan in your life, and God has brought me to sit next to you so that we could have this conversation, so that you could open yourself to let God come closer to you. He is coming closer to you. He's not just at a distance with an overarching purpose and plan, but he's breaking into your life by having me sit here right now. He's breaking into your life to say to you, open to me, I want to get to know you. That is not super complicated language. You can do that. Okay, so I ended up landing in Paris earlier than the other flight I would have been on. And so I had this window of time that was longer between when I landed and when my train was, my train to Tours. And so I went down to where the exiting terminals were, wandering all through the airport till I got there, and there was a Starbucks. And so I ended up going into Starbucks just to get a seat, get a coffee, and actually make a recording. And the recording didn't, the audio was terrible, it didn't come out, but I set up my stuff and made a recording. And I was telling the story that I just told you right now. And when I was done, there was a woman next to me and she said, what's that all about? And I told her I was making the Camino, and it opened up an hour and a half conversation with this woman. She is a TV journalist. She does investigative and other special reports for a Belgian TV station, and had been away in Taiwan for about a month and was just getting back, and was waiting for her final leg home. And she just decided to ask me about this. And while I started telling her I'm going on the Camino and why am I going on the Camino? And all of a sudden, here we go, a whole conversation about God and faith. And well, guess what? She was brought up Catholic. Guess what? She doesn't practice her Catholic faith anymore. Oh, but she has a Catholic boyfriend who does practice her faith, his faith. So we started to talk all about that again. And what a beautiful, what a beautiful gift to be able to spend that time talking with her. And what she found ironic was that she was reading a book, a novel, about two people who just take off and make a hike across the Pyrenees as a path of self-discovery. That's where the Camino is. So she meets a guy who's about to do the Camino while she's reading a book about a couple who aren't doing the Camino, but doing a journey of self-discovery across the same geographic area. And it got her thinking all about the journey of her own life and what she was all about. And so her name's Marie, and I'm praying for Marie. So I'm praying for Claudio, I'm praying for Marie, praying for these people that I pick up along the way, along the journey. And so so there you go. So that was, she was able to help me. She knew French, and she was able to help me get to the right train. That was a little gift to me. And I was able to peacefully move forward on to Tours. And I've had a chance to talk a bit about my time in Tours already. So I'll leave that for here. So there you go. That was my first day making it to to the state of France. And actually, yeah, no, I don't think I did talk about Tours. So let me finish this recap with a couple of minutes on Tours. So Tours was the place of the Holy Face devotion, and I got a little turned around on the map. I ended up walking around and I walked a few miles to get to my hotel, which actually was fine. I needed to kind of keep myself active with walking. And then I was able to go to the Holy Face devotion oratory. And it was very moving to me, but it was very humble. It was like a place that nobody knew about. You didn't stumble into it. Like, you had to know what was there. You had to go seek it out. And it was the home that had been converted into an oratory of Leo Dupont, this lay collaborator with Sister Mary of St. Peter from the Holy Face devotion that the Lord had spoken to her back in 1843 to 1848 with these various revelations. And Leo Dupont carried it forward with his Holy Face, the Veronica Holy Face image. And I started with a couple of, I'm doing this 33-day consecration to the Holy Face right now, but I have not been able to do it live with you guys because I have been so wiped out, just so exhausted. But special moments of grace were part of my visit there, being able to spend time in that chapel at the graveside, the burial place of Sister Mary of St. Peter, of Leo Dupont, in the presence of the Lord, just at that space, just soaking it in. It was very beautiful. I've already given a reflection. My first reflection was one of the reasons I'm here is the Holy Face devotion. And I don't think I made it kind of clear enough, the theme, seeking his face, seek his face, pursue his face, walk forward to encounter his face. That theme is very much a Camino theme and something that I'm doing day to day on the Camino. Okay, there you go. All right, I'll finish this one up. And those are my traveling days to the Camino day. That's Sunday and Monday. And pick up and I'll talk about arriving the day before launching on the Camino. Hey, welcome back to my journey walking the Camino. And here we are. I'm still not at day one of the actual walking of the Camino. I'm giving you the final day of preparation. And then my next reflection will actually have day one, leaving St. John Pied de Port. I was walking the Camino Francés. So going from there all the way to Santiago de Compostela in northwest Spain. Okay, so here I am. I'm traveling south by train out of Paris the first day to Tours, had that beautiful encounter with the Holy Face Oratory. So I brought a journal. And so one of my goals for the Camino is, in fact, writing, which you might have seen from the first video. And one of the beautiful gifts I received along the way were letters from all my kids. So my kids each wrote me a letter that I had a chance to read. I thought I had them here. Here are the letters. And they all, you know, wrote to me personal letters. It was a surprise. And it was very touching because they had it. They each in their own way expressed appreciation for the fact that I was doing this, not as a tourist, not as a vacation, not just to get away and clear my head, but as an act of loving service and sacrificial service as a father to them and a husband to Carrie, and in my own journey with the Lord, that I'm striving to follow him more fully. This will be another theme that'll show up on the Camino, and that is, I'm sure there are people who have that in mind, like it's called a traditional understanding of the Camino. In the first week, I've only met one person who is self-identifying as an active Catholic and is doing the Camino for purposes of penance and reparation. And I'll talk about my encounter with him in a few days when I get to that point in the journey. But just let me say, the way you live your life, it'll have an impact on those around you, right? You've heard it said, don't tell me what you believe. Let me follow you around, see how you live, and then I'll tell you what you believe. There's a lot of truth in that. And in the letters, what struck me was the way in which my kids would speak back to me truths that I would teach them, I would attempt to instill in them. And I wanted to be an integral witness. I wanted to be a faithful witness of these truths in my own life. And they were able to catch that. They were able to get that sense that this was like, Dad, we are so appreciative of you doing this. And, you know, they all have said, we're going to join you in that too. So I mentioned a bit about that already, I think in my first video. But just to say one last point on that, don't doubt the power of your witness, the witness of your life, but don't discount the power of writing. Power of writing a note, writing a letter, especially one that's a surprise, and one where you can unveil your heart and share that with somebody and it's close to you. You can have a really big impact on their lives by being willing to do that. And so that happened for me. And so I went through them again today, a week later, to be able to kind of refresh myself on that source of inspiration. So, okay, finally get on the train, make my way down to Saint Jean Pied de Port. It's the entry point. It's the beginning of the Camino Francés. There was a small train that was going there, and pretty much you could tell everyone on that train was headed to Saint Jean. And they were all pilgrims. Here's how it's it. They were all hikers. Not all hikers. A lot of hikers. I was a little intimidated. I was a little intimidated at how good a shape a lot of these young people were in. Younger people. I was also kind of confirmed in what I've heard that a lot of people that make the Camino are like my age, around 60 or even a little beyond. And I've been really impressed in the first week of the number of like women in their 60s and 70s who are rock solid walking this thing, and just, they're not having to rest the way I am. They are not having to recover the way that I am. I am super impressed at how they're doing. So. All right. God sends angels, right? This is one of the key themes of the Camino is trust, that the Camino or the way will reveal what you need when you need it type of thing. And so right next door to where I was staying the night, I got a late lunch and there was one other person there sitting, and pretty much all people start in the Camino. And so this was a woman. And gee, you want to hear the theme again? Someone who brought up Catholic and is now on a journey of discovery. How about that? A journey of discovery, trying to figure out what's next. Kids are off at college, got this window of time, and I want to figure out a sense of purpose. So not only number, like I said, number one, the number one category of people is that I've met are former Catholics who are no longer practicing. Yeah, but then if you want to state it positively, it's people who are in this inflection point. That was the way it was said to me before I went, and it's true. People are at these inflection points in their lives, and they're on the Camino to somehow come to an answer. Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing with my life right now? What's next for me? Those types of questions.
And interestingly, when I have a chance, when they ask me and I talk about this 10x life, go back to my first video and you'll see this idea of envisioning a life that is like more ideal and a greater manifestation of your depth, people have been really struck by that. And so I think more than one person is going to go back to that podcast to try to dig into that more fully. So, okay. So one of the things that came up in this conversation was she asked me, hey, do you have hiking poles? And I'm like, yeah, I had some back home, but I didn't bring them because of the, you have to check them at the airport. And I didn't want to do that. And she said, same here. And she said, you know, I think I'm just going to buy some poles, even if I just use them for the first couple of days. And then I can always just give them away when I don't need them anymore. And I thought, you know what? That's a great idea. You know, people were recommending poles. A couple people said you don't need them. But all in all, the guidance was you'll really benefit from having poles for the sake of balance. And in watching videos and I see people using poles, it doesn't look like they're making that big of a difference because a lot of it's like just straightaway type areas. I'm thinking it seems like a burden to have your poles out at those points. Thank God I talked to that woman. Thank God, because thank you, Lord, because after dinner, just I walked in, and she was getting some, I got some, and I had a little more room, so I got another shirt, and these poles are so helpful. So helpful. I couldn't even imagine doing the Camino without these hiking poles, the support that they provide, the aid they help with me, especially with my feet, to be able to have that support. So God provided me with an angel, just what I needed, because if I missed that window and that store was closed, I was going to head out on that day one in the Camino without that support. So God sends angels on the way to help you get ready. So there you go. That's my quick summary. My next video is going to be on day one on the Camino, and it is a bit of a shocker. So what I learned, very humbling, but I'll tell you about it in the next video.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
Hey, welcome back to my journey on the Walking the Camino Francés. Well, I'm finally at day one, and I want to say that the theme of this particular first stage was I met the enemy, and I met a guardian angel. The enemy I met was me, was I was the enemy. And so I'm not talking about the devil and spiritual warfare and stuff like that. No, this is much more mundane. This is, I cannot believe Carrie, she just was laughing at me. Like, really, Tom? Yeah, are you really that like off? Like, yeah, I met the enemy. I'm the enemy. How? Okay. So excuse me. God bless me. That's what I needed. So the night before the first, the launch from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port to Roncesvalles, two things happened. The first was I'm doing this for the reasons I mentioned to you. I'm going to live this 10X life, get to a more authentic manifestation of the life God has for me at this point in my life. The second is to seek his face. The third is to be a pilgrim, a true pilgrim who is walking this path of penance and reparation
for my sins, my wife's sins, our marriage sins in our marriage and in each of our kids' lives, and then out from there, right? The circle can go as wide as the world, the wider society, the church, etc. So walking as a true act of penance and reparation. And the fourth reason, what was the fourth reason? I can't remember right now. Okay, so these are the reasons. And it was to go deeper in my spiritual life, to detox from technology and to spend more time seeking the Lord in prayer, in silence, in solitude. So in pursuing this, I had just certain parameters I needed to set up. The first one was, you got to set boundaries around working. And this was one of Terry's mantras during my first handful of days was, I didn't give you permission to go all the way to France over 40 days in Northern Spain for 40 days so that you could just do work there, at odd hours. And I'm like, yeah, that's a really good point. So I have been putting boundaries, increased boundaries around the time that I would give to people in especially in real estate, right? The real estate work that I've been doing. So, and the other stuff, the ministry stuff, it's just a natural fit and flow anyways. So that's been fine. Okay. So, the night before the launch date, I intended to go to the Pilgrim Mass at St. Jean Pied de Port, and I missed it. I got down to the church at 7:30. The Mass started at 7. I got there for the Pilgrim's Blessing, but I missed the Mass. And I missed it because I was on the phone doing real estate work. And that was a slip. That was a mistake. That was easily rectified. All I had to do was have that in mind and set an alarm on my phone and make sure I get there, make that a priority, and I didn't. Well, that wasn't the biggest instance where I was, well, maybe spiritually it was the biggest instance of me being my own worst enemy, but what was worse was I got back to after the blessing, I went back to my hotel room and I ended up having a cup of coffee because I was off on my schedule and all that. And coffee doesn't impact me. I drink coffee so much at home, I'm fine. Yeah, not coffee like this. I was tossing and turning all night. I'm lucky if I got 3 hours sleep on the night before the launch date for this Camino of 34 stages. Really, Tom? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Come on. Don't do that. And it's interesting. In the middle of the night when I realized it, I'm like, all right, I just offered this up. It's another, even though it's my goof up, Lord, turn it into something good. I just offered it up as penance and reparation. So that becomes a nice bucket, by the way. When things are going oddly or badly or poorly, to be able to see in those, oh, wow. All right, Lord, this is a chance for you to be accomplishing what is one of my goals, which is penance and reparation. And all right, I'll do that. So I did that. I still had to get up. I found out when sunrise was at 7:30. All right, I don't want to leave when it's dark. Let me leave at 8 a.m. So 8 a.m, I did my little customary video at the port there, just outside the church through the arch, and launched off up the hill. And I had heard and read how many times that this was the hardest stage, the most difficult stage. And it was exhausting. Now, you could just say that, but just saying it doesn't convey the experience of it. And so I learned a few things along the way. So the first was I would end up using, and this has been my custom so far, using the first couple of hours, 2.5 hours-ish, somewhere between 2 and 3 hours. I use them as my own personal prayer time. And so I've been praying for the first few hours of each day and using those hours to typically pray two sets of rosaries, all the decades of the rosaries. I'll do it twice for my family, and then I'll do it for my family's vocations, for their future spouses and their vocations. And Carrie's in there too. So Carrie, I'm praying for Carrie. And it works out really nicely, actually. So with my 9 kids and Carrie, that's 10, and they each get 2 decades of the rosary, and that's 20. Ta-da, there we go. The 4 sets of the 5 mysteries, 20 decades. And guess what? I got a lot of time. I can peacefully pray a lot of time. And I'll jump a little ahead here, but as I've been doing this day to day, one of the things that will happen 4 or 5 times during a rosary is that my mind will start to wander away from the mystery. And when that happens, and I get to the end of the mystery, I'll say, you know what, my kid deserves better. And I go back and I'll pray the mystery again. And if it happens again, I'll say, my kid deserves better. I'm going to go back and I'm going to pray it again. And you know what? God deserves better. I'm going to go back. I'm going to pray it again. So I've had probably every rosary I've prayed, every time I've done this, I've been praying at least one of the decades 3 times before I move on. I think the first one is 4 times. And I'll often pray extra Hail Marys on one until it feels like I'm done, and then I'll move on. And I told this to Carrie, and she's like, well, you got nothing else to do. She said that cutesy, but it was appreciated as well. Like, you know what? Why do we just check the box? Why do we just check the box when we're praying a rosary and just say it's sufficient to just get the beads and run through them, right? And I just got my beads. Let me just kind of roll through them. No. Let me actually mean what I'm saying and hold that child in my mind. And this actually has been fascinating. So do I miss my family? Yes, of course. Now, most of my kids would be out of my house anyways because of school. That's why I went now. But here's the thing. I'm spending more time consciously imagining them and praying for them day to day than I would in the course of my ordinary life. They're in the background, but now they're in the foreground. Now they're in the forefront. Now they're right in front of me every day for hours in a prayerful way. I love it. Like, do I miss my kids? Actually, I'm spending more time with my kids, on my kids, one at a time, than I would in my ordinary life, my normal life. So that was a pretty striking thing. The second thing, so this is now part of the lessons learned by doing this hike. I watched a ton of videos on, you know, how do you get ready? How do you prepare? How do you train? How do you pack? How do you get launched? What do you do the first day? And I'm like, you people, you need to make a video for people like me. People like me who are like, hey, I know you said bring water. What else should I, what should I have for breakfast before I launch on the hardest stage? Should I eat a full breakfast? Should I eat a lot of carbs, toast? Do I eat eggs? Do I eat an hour before I leave? Do I eat and then go? And then packing food. How much should I pack? And how often should I stop? Like, I met one guy, and this was my guardian angel, Lars. Lars, he had a pattern of walking for 55 minutes, take 5 minutes off. Walk for 55 minutes, take 5 minutes off. And there's more to his story, but I'm kind of stunned now going back over this that the most basic, like foundational activities that are really needed to like make it through this extensive, you know, 15, 17 mile hike up an extraordinary height and then down a very challenging, steep decline. It is, yeah, oh yeah, you know, I watch videos, oh yeah, you just train for a bit, you know, if you take some walks and I walked, I don't know, like 200 miles in the month and a half leading up to in 50 days, for 50 days before, I walked over 200 miles. And I was just beaten up by this route, even with all the miles that I was walking. Just unbelievable what it did to me. And I was not prepared. I was not prepared with the right food in my bag, with the right food eaten beforehand. I just had some coffee thinking, you know, I say it out loud, it's so humbling and embarrassing. Oh, the caffeine will get me far enough. And I took from the room, they left me like a little cup of applesauce and a little yogurt. And so after hiking up for about 3 hours and praying those rosaries, up in the beautiful heights of the Pyrenees, it was just gorgeous. And I was exhausted. And so I pounded down, was getting every little bit of nutrients I could out of that, sugar and vitamins and whatever. And I was out. And I had a long way to go. I was like halfway done. And that's when I met this guardian angel. This was my guardian angel, Lars. I had finished another break and I started walking, and there was a guy walking even slower than I thought possible on a hike like this. And when I got to him, I caught him, said, "Hey, do you mind if I walk with you, hike with you?" "No, no, not at all." And so Lars from Sweden, I'm like, "Hey, I need to thank you, because you are giving me permission to do something that I never would have given myself permission to do." "You know, what's that?" "It's go that slowly. I never would have thought that it was okay to hike that slowly on this stage, on this trail, on any trail." And he told me a story. He had hiked Mount Kilimanjaro, and I guess it's a pretty challenging mountain. And the guide kept stopping him. Slow down, go slower. You're going to get up to altitudes where the oxygen is going to be harder. Do not go that fast. Take smaller steps, focus on the step in front of you, go slower. And that's what he was practicing right there, was got a long way in front of me. I'm just going to go slow. I'll get there eventually. I'm going to take my time. And this guy taught me a lesson, a huge lesson. And it was a huge advance over something that I had picked up on a video getting ready for the Camino. And that was walking is the pace of life. Walking is the pace of life. And that was something that impacted me very much when I was training, because I learned on a flat surface with no backpack, the pace of life of my walking, meaning specifically the pace at which I could walk along and match my breathing so that I could peacefully enter into prayer and not focus on my body, on my breathing, but there was just this flow and rhythm. And it was like 3.1 miles an hour. So between 3 and 3.2, if I walked that pace, that was walking as the pace of life. And it was like, wow, so I wasn't speed walking. I wasn't trying to exercise through it. I was just trying to flow, get in the flow of the pace of life. And so that principle was something I took with me. Okay, walking is the pace of life. Just go the right pace. Well, then he taught me the other principle. It's not just that walking is the pace of life, it's that life sometimes sets the pace of walking. Life sometimes sets the pace of walking. Or you could even say life sets the pace of walking. Because where we were, really high up in the Pyrenees, we had a lot of miles to go and we were both tired. And so I started to go at his pace. And it shifted my perspective about hiking as having a goal that is, okay, our goal is to get to the end of this stage. Our goal is to get to the edge of that ridge. No, my goal is to take one step and then one more step and then one more step. I wasn't going exactly that slowly, but pretty close. When we would be going up hills and it was rocky, and even going downhill steep and it was rocky, it was go as slowly as you need because life is setting the pace of walking. And this guy was my angel. He got me through the rest of that hike, even at a practical level. So there was a food truck high up in the Pyrenees, and it was like your last stop to get food. And sure enough, I met the enemy again, which was who? I was the enemy. I didn't have any cash. Hello? I didn't have any cash in coins. I only had credit card. Well, the guy doesn't take credit cards, and I don't have any food. And so Lars, my guardian angel, lent me a couple of euros, and I got a hard-boiled egg and a banana. I needed to get some calories and protein and potassium in me, and that had to do, that and water. And what was also funny was that he had this little map out of the remaining trip, which was, okay, one more kilometer up of hard, then 5 kilometers of flat, and then 5 kilometers down. And people would see that and they'd get super encouraged. There was only one problem. It was a big lie. It's a big fat lie. I don't know what the guy was doing. If he was trying to motivate people who are tired to think, okay, you only have one more kilometer up, you can make it, then you've got 5 kilometers that are flat. Yeah, that's not true. I have like All Trails app. It is way more than 1 kilometer up. It was like 6 kilometers up, easy, and even more. And it felt like it was longer than 5 kilometers down for sure as well. So it was, I don't know if he was trying to like get a good spirit and get more sales or just help fool people, but you're not going to, false promises are not going to match life, and they're not going to be as helpful as you think. So we humbly, just slowly, carefully, painstakingly made our way through the rest of that hike. We got down to Roncesvalles in northern Spain. And I mean, we entered the town. Right there was his dormitory. And I needed to find my hotel, which was actually just right around the corner. But I was so delirious is not the right term, but I was getting close to the edge of like, I'm going to collapse. And thanks be to God, I was able to make it to the hotel, got to the room, and just collapsed on the bed and just said, I gotta sleep. I couldn't even take a shower. I was that exhausted. And so this has started a trail of days where I would end up using the time when I get to the hotel, and it was later in the afternoon, 3 or 4 in the afternoon or even later. And I would just literally just crash in the bed, take a shower, sleep, eat, sleep, and then get up and do the same thing. Just not having the energy to record like a daily diary or make it, you know, better. Like, oh, let me get a more fun setting. I haven't done one communal meal with people. I just have not had the energy. I'm just like, I just need to recover. So that first day was really hard. way harder than any of these like videos would have led you to believe. And that angel of mine from the day before who had done the hiking, got to get the hiking sticks. She had said something else to me and I didn't listen. And to my own chagrin, I didn't listen. It was like God had given me another message and I just ignored it. And that message was, hey, you know, they can carry your backpack from one stage to the one hotel to the next place you're staying. And you can do that. And it's a short, it's a tiny amount of money, but it'll take that huge load off your back. And so she was like, I think I'm going to do that the first day. And I'm like, no way, I'm not doing that. I didn't come here to wimp out on the first day. What a silly guy. So if I had to do it again, I would say, number one, there's this place that's just a handful of kilometers up out of the town, Orison. I would say make that the first stage. Number two, don't carry your pack. Number three, eat the right breakfast. I'm not smart enough to know what that is, but eat the breakfast and have healthy foods, juices, snacks with you, in addition to the water, to be able to give you more nutrient and calories when you need to stop. And remember that walking is the pace of life, and sometimes life sets the pace for walking. Last thing I'll share about this is that there were many sites that I didn't get to see because I was just so exhausted and focused on the step in front of me that I didn't have the energy to give in my life to stop and really take in and appreciate what was happening around me. And then sometimes it was the circumstances. When we were just walking out of St. John, it was very cloudy. And so there was a foggy mist. So I missed a lot of beautiful sights, not because I wasn't capable of seeing them in myself. It was that the environment I was in was all fogged over. And so I was missing out on the beauty that was really there, but it was just covered. Okay, if you're tracking with me, realize that that can be a lot like life, folks. But sometimes our lives are such that we can walk along on the journey that we have, and we can see the beauty that's around us and take it in. Other times, we take the journey, and the environment we're in is foggy, and so we're just not appreciating what's really there to be seen. And then sometimes our life gets so constrained that we end up getting just sort of caught in, do this next step, do this next step, do this next step, and let that be okay to just do the next step, because that might be all that you have to give. All right, I hope and pray that that is a blessing to you. If you enjoy this, please like and subscribe to this channel and get notifications for when these new ones are going to be released, now that I'm launched in the Camino with day one, and there'll be more to come. I've got more notes and excited to be able to share this with you. All right, God bless you.
All right, so in the last 5 minutes, I have a chance to sort of catch up with you on how things are going. I do encourage you to go to My Catholic Faith TV, My Catholic Faith TV. That's all one word. And just keep scrolling until you find my picture or a screen that looks like, oh, that's one of Tom's podcasts or interviewees, etc. Then you'll get to the channel. And then you'll be able to follow along with all of the videos that I'm making on the Camino. I have learned so much. It's astonishing is the word. That was the word from the gospel yesterday in the feast of St. Gregory the Great. And just yesterday's the feast of St. Gregory the Great. And that, I think, at times can make us conclude that if we're going to do something great with our lives, it will appear in a way that's visible and measurable and becomes associated with our position or our possessions or our fame. That those are the things that are leveraged or used by God to do something great in this world. And according to Thomas Aquinas, and you've heard me say this how many times, true greatness, magnanimity, is rooted not in those things which are helpful but not necessary, fame, power, and money, and wealth, but rather what's essential is holiness. And my reflection today was that I began to reflect a bit more on the fact that I would see these people town by, as I would go through these towns, these people who would, as far as, you know, I might be exaggerating a little bit, but as far as I could tell, these are people who grew up, lived, and will die in these towns, these tiny towns across northern Spain. And the question is, are there no saints among them? Is there no one in the midst of these people who are going to become a saint? And it would be silly for me to conclude, no saints here. No, saints here are going to be people who are really wealthy, really famous, or really powerful. And what came back to me was the traditional phrase that we become holy, we become sanctified by fulfilling the duties of our state in life. We, you and I, become holy. We grow and express our union with God the Father through his Son Jesus and the power of his Holy Spirit. We manifest that in the world by being faithful to the duties of our state and life. Now, what that means is, wives and mothers, if you're at home, be wives and mothers who make a home, who care for the kids, who are doing things that are, in fact, going to cause the light of Christ to shine forth into that sector. It doesn't matter what job you have. I was out to dinner and with a doctor who is literally saving people's lives. And he was saying what a gift it is to do work where you may, in fact, in the course of your day-to-day life, have someone walk through the door and you end up like literally saving their lives. And that's not a common occurrence, but it has happened. And it's like, wow. You could see how the idea of fulfilling the duties of your state in life fits in that format. But to hear it in this other format, this format of, no. It doesn't matter what you do, street sweeper. You're working in a little supermarket. You're repairing the roads, you know, the things that these daily jobs that I see, these people living their lives, being born in these towns, living in these towns and dying in these towns. These are the places where God has seen fit to make them saints. And we should not dismiss, denigrate, or somehow consider as less important these daily duties of our state in life. Because honestly, truly, that's how most of us are going to fulfill the duties of our state in life. So I encourage you today, that's my word of encouragement, that as you go through your day, realize that God has given you graces to do the task that is yours, the task that is right in front of you. And I hope and pray that you will recognize that the dignity that is associated with those tasks when you do those imbued with the Spirit of Christ. You do that with the conscious awareness and calling upon the grace of God day to day, moment by moment, task by task. So I'll stop there. I'm running out of time. But I did want you to have that sense of reflection about these people that I'm passing by day to day. Like every day, I'm passing by new sets of people who are sitting out by the side of the road, wishing me a buen camino, a happy camino, a good trip. And they are there. That's their life. We keep going past them every day. There's a new set of pilgrims that go past them. but they remain and they're faithful to the tasks that are in front of them. And it's through those tasks that God is raising them up to be saints and to fulfill their God-given mission. I hope and pray that's a blessing to you. All right. Please join me tomorrow for more reflections on the way. God bless.